Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning, everybody. How many of y'all already feel blessed this morning? Amen. Boy, I do. Been able to worship together, lift hands in humility and prayer to God, just lifting up. I want to start out today. Today's message is about the seasons of life. But here's what I want to do. Stand up if winter is your favorite season. Stand up. Oh, we got a few. All right. Okay. Not many, but a few. What about spring? Stand up if spring is your favorite season. All right. Okay. We got probably three or four times more than for winter. Okay. You may sit down. What about summer? Who loves summer? Wow. There we go. There you go. Stay up, summer. I want to find something else out about you. If you're summer, stay standing up. If you're more of a beach person, stay standing. If you're not, sit down. I want to see how many of you are beach. Almost all of you. That's why you like summer. You want to go to the beach. Well, it's coming. Okay, you may sit down. Now, how many of you like autumn? Stand up if you like autumn. Woo, come on. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right. That you're right there with my heart. So you know that you got the pastor's heart, you people who are autumn people. Autumn is my favorite time of the year, and probably for some of the same reasons that they are for you. And I got a special treat this past week, actually an adrenaline rush this past week, as I was enjoying the colors, Mother Nature's crayons, as she was coloring. I went over to Mulberry this past week, and you know, I'm in the middle of physical therapy, and it's going well on my knee, but I got to do everything combined. I went over to Mulberry this week and did my stretching, and I did my strength training, and then I culminated in my 2.2-mile walk. So I got everything done, and I'm feeling good. My knee's all warmed up. It's not stiff, and I start my walk, and I'm about 0.8 into my walk, and the trail is about 10, 11 feet wide, and I'm walking on the right because that's what you're supposed to do so people can pass you. So I'm walking, and I'm saying, Lord, you got this. You know, I'm walking. I'm focusing not to limp, not to make sure that my gait is right, and I'm walking briskly and trying to keep it up, heel toe, and then out of nowhere, I'm 0.8 into my 2.2, and this hawk comes down out of a tree, and he swoops, and he's about 30 feet in front of me, and he swoops, and I'm telling you, it is the biggest hawk I've ever seen in my life. Of course, when they're that close, they're all big. And so he swoops down and his wings are out, and they had to be in about 4 feet wide. It is a big hawk. And he is eye level with me now. And he is coming, and I think, okay, I'm not a little rodent. Okay, I'm a pretty big guy. And he's coming at me, but he comes down and he swoops and he comes right beside me. I mean, I could reach out and touch him. And he didn't blink an eye. He didn't get scared. I just kind of stood there. It's like, okay, what's going to happen? And my adrenaline is going. But, you know, after he passed by me, and it was just beautiful. He just swooped up gracefully, and he landed on a limb above. And I walked back a little bit just to look up at him, and he was huge. And he was focused on a squirrel, of course. And the squirrels were there. So he was waiting to bide his time and swoop down on a squirrel. And I hope he wasn't thinking I was, and then he passed by me. But, you know, but God gave me a gift. Not only was I out there exercising God was healing my knee as I was being obedient in the disciplines that I knew I needed to be, but the Mother Nature was coloring the leaves, and it was beautiful. And then God, in one of his creatures, he allowed me to experience something there. And so I had this great experience for me in one of my favorite seasons, autumn. And God just enhanced it in a great way on one day this past week. We all have seasons. There are seasons that mark the year. There are seasons, and each season has its own characteristics, right? Each season comes with its own markings, its own identity. And seasons are very, very important. I think when I think of seasons, I also think of sports teams. I think sports teams have seasons. Doug, if you're here, I'm sorry about Tennessee's season going on right now. It's different from last year and the year before, and hopefully it'll be different next year. Go. Touche, baby, touche. Here's my Iowa brother right over here. Come on, they had a good, that was a good day for them, let me tell you. Woo, we got spanked. Anyway, thank you, Doug, for that. Each sports team has a season. And the seasons are different from one year to the next. Now, every sports team, they hope that the next season will be better than the last. But within each season, a sports season, there are different things that happen that create the season that they have. They have coaching changes. They have players get injured. They have new strategies. They have sanctions handed down by the NCAA that, you know, experiences. There's lots of things that determine how the season is going to go. But in all of those seasons, every sports team, their hopes is that that next season will be better than the last. Now, in the Cubs, you know, they went from being World Series championships to not even making the playoffs. So it's like their season had changed, right? Every season changes. There is no season that has ever existed, whether it be a sports team or in Mother Nature in season, that has been exactly the same as the season before it. Never. Change is inevitable. Change is important for each season. God designed it that way. With nature's seasons, they are so harmonized that while each season has its own characteristic, one season cannot operate on its own without the aid of all the other seasons. You know, we know that there's good days and bad days. And why are there good days and bad days? So we know the difference, right? Why are there four seasons that we look? So we know the difference. And there's change that comes intentionally, and there's change that we don't expect that comes with each season. Seasons dictate how we dress. Seasons dictate to us what activities we engage in. Seasons dictate to us what we eat sometimes. Seasons have a lot to do with our moods and our attitudes. Okay, be honest. How many of you are in a worse mood in the winter than you are the summer? Just raise your hand. Yeah. Seasons bring along feelings. And sometimes seasons that we come into have nothing to do with the weather and our moods. They have to do with the experiences we've had in the past and is related to that particular season. You know, forever in my heart and my memory, my dad's death and burial will be connected to a season in my life. And I'll remember that. And you have those experiences too, that when you get to that season, you remember those experiences that you had in those seasons. People who plant crops, people who plant gardens, know how important that the seasons are to the plants for growing. I've mentioned this before, but in Ohio, in northern Ohio, they have some great corn crops. And I think I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But we always planned our summer vacation around when it was time for harvest of the corn. And that was about the first week of July. But depending on the rain for the season leading up to the harvest, we might have missed it. It might have been later because there wasn't enough rain. And the corn didn't grow as quickly, so they can't harvest it as quickly. Therefore, we missed the corn. Gardeners know that with each season, it brings rain and sunshine, and there's a frost. You know, with some of the corn, it's called feed corn. And the feed corn grows, it's for the animals, it's for the mills, it's to feed the animals, but they don't harvest the feed corn until after the first frost. It's important. I don't know why, but my dad always told me, he says, they don't do it because there's something that goes along with the first frost that helps that feed corn before they harvest it. So each season plays a part with the one before it. But you know, life has its seasons, right? Life has its seasons. You know what? Life has no order, though, in the seasons that we have. We don't experience winter season, then we know, oh, spring's coming right behind it or right after it. And then there'll be summer, and then there'll be autumn, and then I'll be back in winter. That's not how life works, right? So if we categorize our lives as winter, if we were to do that, we might have a summer after a winter. We might have an autumn after a spring. You know, if you're looking at your life in that way. But each part of our lives, we call them pages in our lives. We call them chapters in our lives. But today, let's think of them as seasons. And we all have seasons of our lives. We all know the verse in Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. That was NIV, but the New American Standard says this: there is an appointed time. That means there was an intentional appointing of that in our lives. There's an appointed time for everything. You see, you know, we think of God and we think that He's got our life planned out. He knows. He's got an appointed time as we submit to Him for things in our lives, for us to experience and grow. And then there's a time for every event under heaven. Genesis 8:22 says this. If you say, wonder how long this season, when will they end? God says this, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. As long as the earth endures, as long as we live in this world, the seasons will exist. There's no way around them. You can't skip winter. You can't skip summer in our lives. They happen. And there's purpose in every one of them, in the appointed time that we're walking through it. But there is a choice. We can't choose to skip the season, but we can choose how we'll respond and how we'll react and how we'll walk through that season with our attitude and with our minds and with our choices. We can choose how we will embrace that season. But if we can only embrace the seasons of our lives as willingly as we embrace the seasons of the year, man, I cannot wait for autumn to get here every time. And I embrace it and I love it and I enjoy it while I'm in it. And I tried to do the other seasons that way too. But I can just do it easier in autumn because I love it so much. It's been said that the only thing that is constant is change. But unfortunately, that's what we tend to resist, don't we? Especially if it means going outside of our comfort zones. If it's something that we haven't picked for us. If it's something we haven't chose for our life, we have a harder time accepting it and an easier time resisting it. God has planned the seasons of our lives with infinite wisdom. He has ordained each one, knowing exactly what fruit is to be harvested during each time frame in our life. And I believe that since His desire is to do us only good, He enjoys each season He plans for us. Because the scripture tells us, for those who love the Lord, that good is waiting. He makes good happen for all. Out of the bad, out of the good, out of every experience, for those who love the Lord. That's key to that verse. For those who love the Lord. So ask yourself, do you love the Lord? And if you love the Lord, He has an appointed time for every experience and every opportunity, every circumstance and every happenstance that we think in our life. And when it's bad, do we still love the Lord? When it's bad, do we still think He loves us? We do. Jeremiah 29, you know the verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And all of these experiences and all of these seasons of life are ordained and appointed in their time for you to do just that. So when we deny what we're going through sometimes, are we denying the wisdom of the Lord? Are we denying how much He really loves us? Because there's so many people, well, if the Lord loved me, or if the Lord loved us, why would He let that happen, or why would He allow me to experience that? See, we have finite wisdom. Right? Does anybody here have infinite wisdom? Stand up, I want to meet you. If you have infinite wisdom, stand up, I want to meet you. So none of us are God? All right. There's only one God. There's only one audience of one. And we claim that today. Life is made up of many different seasons, and not just seasons like winter, spring, summer, and autumn. Different seasons of life for different emotions and different responsibilities. The Lord created different seasons in our lives to shape us, to help us deal with things, to create in us who He intended us to be. He uses seasons to show that He is good, and He can make everything beautiful in its time. Seasons, good and bad, are ways for God to capture our hearts and our faith. For those of you who like summer, you go to the ocean. And if you go to the ocean, you know that there's a tide. And if you know that there's a tide, you know that there's a high tide and that there's a low tide. When you're by the ocean, you are keenly aware when these tides, because sometimes that dictates your activities on the beach and what you do. At high tide, there's little room to walk on the shoreline. At low tide, the beach is wider and easier to access, and you can, and what, when the tide goes out, it leaves all kinds of little goodies and not so goodies on the beach for you to walk around or pick up and you notice. But the ebb and flow of the tide should remind us that life is much the same. We are powerless to control the movement of the tide, just as we are powerless to control the weather or the changing seasons in our lives. All we can do is adapt to the changing times. That being said, we still have the freedom to make those choices on how we will adapt to the changing times. We can't change the seasons of life, but we can make decisions that will affect how we live in those seasons. And by the way that we live, and we've talked about this, it's an expression to the world of who we believe in and who we place our trust in. How we walk through those seasons. Let me share these five things with you about seasons of our life. One, they are beyond our control. Daniel 2:21 says, He controls the times and the seasons. He makes and unmakes kings. You can't control when, you can't control how long, you can't control the location, and you can't control the duration of the season that you're in. If we're submitted to God, if we're followers of Christ, then we're submitted and following everything He has for us. But sometimes we try to escape, right? We try to run from that season. We try to run away because we're tired. We're done, God. I'm done with the season. But God, You must not be done with me because I'm still in it. So God, I just want You to know that I'm done. Can we move on now? You ever tell God that? You ever ask Him that and say, God, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. I got to leave this season. I can't operate anymore in this season. It's got to change for me. But if God is sovereign, if He is sovereign over your heart, then yes, we might say that, and God understands. He's a big boy. He understands when we feel that way. But He still wants us to commit to what He's put us through. I mean, we can remember what Jesus went through in the garden, right? He says, you know, let this cup pass from me, but not as my will, Your will, God. And we all know what God's will was at that point, is that Jesus do what He sent Him to do. Do you say that to God? God, I don't want to be in this season, and I want to get out of it, but not my will, Your will. Maybe it takes verbally saying that. Maybe it's audible. Maybe it's not just thinking. Maybe it's like going someplace, who cares if they think you're crazy, and just talking to God. Right? Walking to Mulberry. It's a great place to walk. There's lots of people there. They're all talking to themselves. You know, or at least they think they got these earbuds in and they're talking, and you walk by them and you think they're saying hey to you. You say, oh, they're talking to somebody else. So it doesn't matter these days. So talk to God about that. Number two, they are often confusing. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything appropriate in its time. We just read that. He also has set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. God does not reveal everything to you. God is a mystery. If he told you everything the way it was going to be and told you ahead of time, why would there be faith? Have you ever asked yourself why this is happening or why am I going through this? We have our own perception of what we want our life to look like. And much of the time, it's not all of the time our view that we get. Our view doesn't involve pain. Our view doesn't involve suffering. Our view may not involve discomfort. Our view may not involve the valleys. Our view may involve, oh yeah, I just want mountaintop experiences. I just want good days. I don't want bad days. I want all good days. But God knows that the bad days are the ones that strengthen us, that strengthen our faith, that strengthen our trust in him. We need the valleys and the mountains. Have you ever felt depressed after you had this incredible experience and the next week you're just like, man, I don't know what's wrong with me? Because there's no place to go from a mountaintop experience but down. We've been on the mountain, and that's great. But God says, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not finished with you. And in order for me to get you to the next level, you've got to go through the next valley. You've got to go through the next switchback if you're hiking. We all have valleys and mountaintops in our seasons, and we have to be willing to go through all of them. Number three, God has a purpose for each season. Romans 8:28, you know it and I know it. As we know that all this happens to us is working for the good of those who love God and are fitting into his plans. My question is, are you fitting into his plans? Or are you asking him to fit into your plans? It's like, God, I want to do this. Bless it. Or God, I want to do what you want me to do so I know that it will be blessed. If you were a believer, and I would say that most of us in here, if not all of us are, nothing comes into your life that hasn't been filtered by God the Father first. Nothing comes to you that hasn't been filtered by him. C.H. Spurgeon, the theologian, said this, and I love it. To trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust him in the dark, that is faith. It is. Because when we know where we're going, that's not faith. I know what's ahead of me. I know that. But to trust in God that he knows what's ahead of me and to walk anyway, that's true faith. When you don't know. A.W. Tozer, another theologian and writer, said this, if you have not believed, or if you have believed but not obeyed, you have postponed your Christian life. Even the devil believes and trembles, Scripture says. If you have believed but you have not obeyed, then you're postponing the life that God has planned for you. Number four, the seasons include both good and bad times. In Ecclesiastes 3, and I'm just going to go through them real quick. It's not scripture up here. To be born and die, to repair and tear, to build and tear down, to peace and war, plant and uproot, speak up, be quiet. We all need to learn that one. Heal and kill, love and hate, gather and scatter, find and lose, laugh and cry, dance and grieve, keep and throw away. Some of your garages and basements need that one. Keep and throw away. Pastor Bill and Terry just went through that with their house. They kept some things, but they got rid of a lot of things. It has all of those and a time for all of those. Number five, what I sow in one season, I'll reap in another. Some of us don't get that quite when it comes to life. When you think about planting in a field or crops, they don't plant the seed and then the next day they're ready to harvest, do they? That plant has got to go through a process. And there are things that have to happen to the plant for it to go through the process, the nutrients, the sun, the water. And then it has to burst forth. And then things of the world, those same things that helped it to grow, can also kill it. Like if there's not enough water and there's too much sun, it can scorch it and kill it. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Doing good with expectation is only going to make you frustrated. I'm doing good now because I know I'm going to be blessed. God, I'm waiting on the blessing. The blessing comes in the appointed time. And God knows the appointed time. God knows what we need to go through. So we're just required to be obedient. Do good. Do good. And in the proper time, we will reap of the good that we have done. But here's the thing. We're all prone to resist the season that we're in. We are. It's as if we are never satisfied. When it's summer, we want fall. Well, I think some of you want summer all year round, right? Some of you want to be at the beach all year round. And honestly, when it comes to autumn, I mean, I could live in the autumn all year round. I could, really. But I know that that's not right for me. When we are single, we want to be married. When we are married, we want children. When we have children, we want them to be grown and out of the house. When the nest is finally empty, we miss them and want them back, at least for a little while. We really want the grandchildren back. Yet we tend to criticize, you know, we look at our own lives, but we tend to send criticism out to other people. You know, the children of Israel were criticized a lot. They sinned against God for their continuing murmuring and their continued complaining. Like spoiled children in the natural, they continually demanded more from God. God brought them out of 400 years of slavery. God let them rest from their enemies, and he provided daily food and water and protection, and they still griped. They still saw, oh, well, that's that, but now I need something new. But no matter what he did, it wasn't enough for them. It seems that what they really wanted was control of their own destiny, their own circumstances, not total dependence on God, whose plans were for their good. Does that relate with anybody? It does with me. And as a result, an entire generation, and if you hadn't read this story, you need to read this story. It's powerful. An entire generation perished before receiving their promised inheritance. The wilderness journey for the Israelites was not a picnic by any imagination. It was an adventure into the unknown. It was a change of season for an entire nation. But the Lord knew the way through the wilderness, just as he knows the way through ours. He ushers in the seasons in our lives and walks with us through them. He doesn't leave us to walk by ourselves. He will send somebody. He's already sent somebody, the Comforter. That's what Jesus said, I have to leave so he can come. And he comes not only in you, but he comes in the person sitting next to you. And that's Jesus with skin on. He sends those people to us. And all he desires is that we embrace what he is doing in our lives with faith and gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It's hard when we're going through hard times to think about thanksgiving, to think about gratitude. But in every circumstance. That's not in some. That's not in a portion. There's not even a percentage there. It's an absolute word. It's an absolute word, which it's all inclusive. That there is never a waiver this side or that side. There's never a time where this does not apply for the believer, for those who are walking with Jesus. It says, in every circumstance, whether it's a mountaintop or it's a valley, every mountaintop, everything in between, there is a place for gratitude. I want you to repeat this after me. In every circumstance, there is a place for gratitude. In every circumstance, there is a place for gratitude. I want you to repeat that this week. No matter what you're going through, find it and articulate it to the one who made you, the one who sustains you, the one who provides for you, the one who died for you. Even if he took it all away, there is still reason to thank him for the goodness of saving you for eternity. He values you that much. You know, I'm thankful for... Amen. I am thankful for Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill and Miss Terry, and not only them, but their family. This is a season of life that they're transitioning through. We all know that the 19th is Pastor Bill's last Sunday. And this started almost a year ago. Probably before that, it was born in Pastor Bill's heart before we ever came in contact with each other. Because being close to God, being in connection with God, he knew God was doing something different in his life, and he was about to do that. And so he was obedient. God told him to do what he needed to do, and Pastor Bill started doing it. And while he was doing that, I was trying to do that over with Impact. God had called me from a season of part-time, not full-time, into ministry, but of course my heart is always full-time into ministry. And God called me back to a church that I had left, that I was at for 14 years, to come back and fill a different role, a different season. And in that, I'm just trying to figure out, God, what is it that you want us to do? I'm your leader. I'm your man. What is it that you want me to tell your people? Where do you want me to lead them? And as I'm praying all the time, and I'm looking, and I'm experiencing, and I'm still not fine, I said, I'll know it when it comes. But we're going to go through the motions. We're going to sell what we need to sell because we know what we're supposed to, that this isn't where we're supposed to be. So let's prepare. We don't have the answer, but let's prepare. Let's divest. Let's get rid of everything in our garage, right? Let's just get rid of it so we're ready to move when it comes time. And during that process of obedience, and a lot of times God doesn't clarify until you take that step, right? Until you take the step. And Pastor Bill shows up. And God was doing a thing in his heart that his season in ministry was changing. Over a year ago, Pastor Bill heard from the Lord and said, it's time. I've got something else for you. And in Pastor Bill's heart, he wanted to make sure that the flock that he had led for 20 plus years, 25, 6 years, Pastor Bill, that he was going to leave them in a good place. His heart was still for Trinity, the church that God had called him to plant. But he knew that it was going to change, that it would be a different season for Trinity. There would also be a different season for Impact. And we didn't know that. At that time, that these two lovers of God wanted to do what God was going to converge, that our paths would not only cross, they would become one. And I'm sure Pastor Bill didn't know all the details. I didn't know all the details. But all we could do was walk through obedience. And believe me, some of the meetings that we had were not easy meetings. We had to talk about some hard stuff. We had to talk about culture. We had to talk about theology. We had to talk about doctrine. We talked about methodology. We had to have those conversations. And even through all of the conversations, God was still saying yes. And we all felt that. And so we took steps of obedience. But that's a season that he and Terry are about to transition out of. And not only them, but their family. It'll be a different season. And God has got blessings. He's got mountaintops and he's got valleys. And he's got all the in-between waiting for Pastor Bill and Miss Terry. As he does for you where you are. As he does for me where I am. As he does for the fountain where she is. This is God's church. This is not my church. This is not Pastor Bill's church. This is not your church. We can call it our church because it's where we resonate, where God has called us to be obedient. But this is the church that belongs to Jesus. He is the head of the body. And we do our best to follow him in every step of the way, even in the valleys. We can't abandon the season because we don't like something, because it's not exactly the way that we feel it should go. God is always working, even in the season when we don't see much activity. During the season of planting where there is no harvest, God is watering, He's nurturing, He's fertilizing, and containing us so that in due season we can bring forth the fruit of the righteousness that He desires. There's a bamboo plant that when it's planted for the first 5 years, there's nothing that happens above the ground. But below the ground, there's incredible growth going on. The root system is getting stronger and stronger. And in the sixth year of that plant, and I can't remember the number, it's just kind of phenomenal to me, but it grows, I'm not talking inches, I'm talking in like double numbers of feet. That sixth year, the plant just grows up and up and up and up in that first year. God is doing that when we think that there's nothing going on. When we think, God, where are you? What's going on? He wants us to continue to do what He's already called us to do. Worship Him. Serve Him. Be obedient to Him in the disciplines that He has already called us to do. And in due time, He's building the root system. He's building us stronger. And then when it comes time, there's going to be this incredible season of growth that He's going to take you and use you for His glory. And then you're going to realize, I now know what you are doing, God. You were building this root system in me, in my heart, in my mind, Father, in my passion for you. And I stayed obedient. And now I'm reaping the blessings of what you wanted to do in my life, but not just for my life, for your glory in other people's lives. Lamentations 3 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? To me, that interprets, if I'm not in agreement with what the Lord has filtered, ordained, allowed in my life, if I'm not in agreement, am I truly walking with Him? How can two walk together on the same path unless they agree? So if I turn my back on the Lord, say, Lord, I'm not going to go through that, then at that point I have chosen not to walk with the Lord in His will for me. That's a hard truth, church, but it's real and it is truth. I want to give you 5 questions, and then I'm going to close. How can I make the most of each season? I want you to ask these 5 questions to yourself when you're going through a season, for the season you're going through right now. 1 is, what can I learn from this season in life? Instead of just going through it happenstance like, okay, I'm here, now I'm waiting for it to be over so I can transition. What can I learn? What is God trying to teach me in this season of life? In Deuteronomy 11, the writer suggests for us to consider what God might be doing or the reasons for allowing these circumstances in our lives. To think about it. He gave you a mind. Think about it. It's like, what is God trying to do? You know, Scripture says when we ask for wisdom, He'll give it. 2nd one is, what can I be thankful for in this season? We recently just talked about in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And in Philippians 4, Paul tells us to learn to be content in every situation. What can I be thankful for? Where can my gratitude fall right now in this season of life? Next question, what is my purpose in this season of life? Ephesians 5, it says, Paul tells us to be careful how we walk in this world, to walk as wise and not as unwise, making the best use of our time, worship, serve, etc., while we wait on God. Doing nothing is not an option. God has already given us a way to walk. And the last question, How can I do good in this season of life? How can I do good in this season of life? Proverbs 3 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Now, we talked about recently about bringing the best, the first fruits, the best to God, and He'll bless the rest. And then with that, He wants to multiply it, but we have to give it away. What can you do good? What can you do and enhance the generosity in your life that will benefit somebody else's life? What can you do? You just ask God, God, where's my divine appointment? God, where's my opportunity? I'm ready. God, this is yours, so I want it to multiply for your kingdom's sake. So show me where I can give it away. And then let it bless the kingdom. Let it bless God. And let Him bless you. And why do we do all that? We do it because He first loved us. That's why. We do it because He loved us so much. He valued you so much that He sent His Son, His only Son, to die on the cross because He loved you so much. He gave His own Son up because He knew that this was important to bring you back to Him. We're going to go into a time of communion now, where we have the bread and the juice at the tables, the representations of the Lord's body and blood. And I want you to think about what those mean in your life. His body that He gave up for you on a cross to be, He was beaten, He was pierced, He was spit on. Have you gone through that for somebody? I would say probably not. I know I haven't. But He did it. And then they nailed Him to a cross, His body. And then His blood flowed from the nails in His feet and His hands, from the spear that was thrust in His side. Even before that, from the whipping, from the cat of nine tails. His blood came from His body. Nobody could withstand that. I would believe nobody in this room could withstand something like that. But He did it for you and for me. And He walked through because He knew it would please the Father and it was necessary for you and I to be redeemed, to be reconciled back to the Father. And so in this moment, we're grateful. This is a place to be grateful for what Jesus did for you, to thank Him, to say, Lord, thank You for giving up You for me because I couldn't do it. I didn't deserve it and You did it anyway. And I pray that your heart and mind will reflect on that. This season of life, whatever you're going through, God is with you. He will walk with you every step of the way until it's time for a different season. Fountain Church, God has ordained this season for us. We can't escape it. We can't run from it. He has allowed us to do this, and we will do it with faith, with strength, and with confidence to take every step in obedience to what He's called us to. We will bring honor where honor is due. We will honor Pastor Bill. We will honor Miss Terry. We will honor their family for the faithfulness and the work and the money and the blood and the sweat and the tears that He's put into building the kingdom of God here. And through this whole year. Because God has ordained this season for the Fountain Church. And we will walk through it together. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we love You so much and we thank You for today. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You when You are strong, when we are short in faith and we were in short in strength, Father. In our weakness, You can be made strong, and may we submit and surrender to that, Lord. You are awesome. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for us. We didn't deserve it, but You knew You had to do it for our sake. Thank You for that. And Holy Spirit, thank You for Your reminders every day. I know in my life, and I need them. Please don't stop. I beg You to examine me daily and remind me of any way that's not falling in line with what my God wants for Mike McGuire. And I pray that every person in this room would pray that as well. But right now, we are grateful for what you did, Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending him. And we remember and we honor that right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.